You can turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, and I'm going to overlook in a word of prayer. Father God, you are greater and stronger than anyone else. And Father, you have been in our lives, and you work in our lives, and you do amazing miracles, Father. Sometimes we don't see them, but we know that you are in control. And Father, we have read the end of the book, and we know that you win. So whatever we go through, whatever trials and tribulations we go through, Father, we know that we can put our trust and hope in you. Father, help us to decrease and you increase as we live for you. Father, many people today may come in with broken hearts, broken spirits. But Father, you are the great physician, and you can heal those. And I ask, Lord God, that you would do that starting today. That you would take away the pain. That you would help us deal with everyday situations in our lives that we come into this room. My Father, we pray that we take those burdens and we lay them at your feet. So that we can hear you and you only. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. Let them see you, not me. We ask this in your most precious holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks. Well, first of all, happy Memorial Day weekend. For you guys, I hope that you guys are having a good start before the rain comes all in. But I do want you to take a little bit of a notice today. Now, look, when I'm playing this series and I'm playing in all this stuff, I have no idea that God. Well, I do know, but when I'm playing this, how He orchestrates it all, and it just happens to fit in perfectly with this weekend, perfectly with what's happening, and as always, God does things in His perfect timing. But we need to understand, just take some time today to understand what Memorial Day is really about, right? So if you're having this cooking this weekend, you're having parties, whatever it may be, take time to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ just for the freedom that we have in this country because of our military and because of God and what He's done in our lives. And I just took a little quote, as some of you may have seen a few good men. So this is a little quote from Colonel Jessup, Jack Nicholson. He goes, "Son, we live in a world that has walls. And those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. I have a greater responsibility than you could possibly fathom. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about it at parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall." Why did I tell you this? It's because we live in a world of persecution for what we believe in. And we are so blessed, at least for now, at least we're blessed for now, to live in a country that provides us a freedom as followers of Jesus Christ to worship Him, not like some other countries. I read a story yesterday about China, so I had to write it down because I knew I wouldn't try to memorize this. And now we know China's a communist country. But this is how persecution is going on there in China. Now, I might be pronouncing this wrong, but there's the Zhejiang region. Okay, it's about 90% of the church crosses in that region have been destroyed, along with numerous churches themselves. So basically, 30 churches have forcibly been demolished. Over 15,000 crosses have been burned and removed. The government forcibly shut down house churches, detained large numbers of pastors, and confiscated church property. Schools were forbidden to engage in any religious activities or celebrate religious holidays, and end activities with religious affiliation like Sunday school or summer camp were shut down. At colleges and universities, students and faculty were required to fill out questionnaires to report their religious beliefs. 500 Christians or so were taken into custody. 130 Christians physically injured. 60 Christians administratively or criminally detained. And over 28 pastors arrested or charged with a crime. An estimated number, this is all in 2015, an estimation of the total number of people was just under 20,000 people who had been persecuted in 2015 just in China itself. And we live in a country that has right now has that freedom, but we're losing that freedom. So as we're closing out the first part of Matthew 5, we've been in Matthew 5 for the last 6 weeks, and we spent the last 6 weeks and we talked about, and hopefully that you have been applying the Beatitudes with your everyday lives. And now that we're going to conclude with this part of it with persecution. Really? I mean, this is what we have to look forward to? Yes. So I want to recap quickly. For the ones who haven't been here, or if you haven't been online, as Daryl said, you can go online and listen to them. I want to recap quickly just what we've spent over the last six weeks doing. But I also want to start with, I want you to encourage, as we finish this series, as we finish this part of the Beatitudes, right? As we finish this, I want you to think of the Beatitudes not as eight independent statements, but as a progression that describes our salvation and our maturity. So I want you to think about that. So in these outlines, in these Beatitudes, there's an outline for us that the process of our spiritual growth, right? This process always begins with the recognition of our spiritual need. Seeing ourselves poor in spirit is the basic foundation to motivate our heart to respond to God. So we know that this poor in spirit is the motivation. That's what we need. That's the foundation we need. But then what happens? We spend the next couple of weeks talking about a heart and the response. So how does our heart respond? Well, we mourn over our sins. So as you become poor in spirit, as you become a follower of Christ, you start mourning over your sins. In other words, you get this gut-wrenching feeling that every time you sin, that you are sinning against God. And if you want to do something, you want to change that, but you don't want to sin against the one who died on the cross for us. Then after that, we get to the point of being meek, right? Which is blessed are the meek. I'm going to follow it. You can read it. Start in the first three. You'll see it. Blessed are the meek. And what it says here, remember, meekness is not a sign of weakness. What is weakness? Weakness is something you can't do. Meekness is something you can, but you choose not to. You choose to stand above what the world wants you to do. Then, lastly, our hearts respond. By having experienced the love and the goodness of God, the heart is humble. And as we submit to God, so as we're listening, as we're poor in spirit, as we're mourning, and as we're showing meekness, we start becoming more teachable. We submit to God, we start becoming more teachable to be directed in God's truth, which leads us for our heart to hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, we just can't get enough of God. We want God in our lives so much in every single day that we just can't get enough of His Word. We can't get enough of of the lifestyle that He wants us to live. And that's your heart's response. Then we change it, because what that does is that God leads our heart to action. And we spent the last 3 weeks on that. So obedience to God's truth produces a character of mercy, right? It's showing mercy to others. Remember, one time you were in that situation where someone who doesn't know the Lord is now. We show them mercy. We don't look down upon people. Then we talk about purity of heart, right? That we want to be pure in heart. That we want God to reign in our lives, and we want to be able to share that with others. We want to be able to show them the pureness of hearts. And that led last week where we talked about peacemaking. That we don't try to be a peacekeeper, but we try to peacemake. We try to stop the conflict. We want to get to the root of that problem. So when your heart responds to God, leads your heart to action. So obedience is all these things. So as you progress, as you process through all this, and you become spiritually mature, your outline here, what all that does, it produces Christ-like character. And see, Christ-like character causes the heart of the world to be opposed. Because why? This world hates the righteous life of God. And now, how is it demonstrated? Well, in your faithful and obedient, as you being faithful and obedient. And they want to get rid of that godly life. The world does not want the godly life. How have they done that? Well, think about it over the years. What are they first thing they do? They start getting rid of Bible. They start taking prayer all out of schools. Then the Ten Commandments, right? They start taking it out of the government establishments. They've been even trying to take the mention of God off of our currency. And God we trust, they want to take the word God out of that. I'm waiting for them to try to change the Pledge of Allegiance. Because this is a God under one nation under God. Here's the problem now. Even you mention that you are a Christian, that you are a follower of Jesus, you name God, you name Jesus, you're automatically a bigot. You're automatically about hatred. Persecution comes in different forms and shapes and sizes, right? Persecution like China, we're not there yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if we are soon enough. We all have different persecutions. Some may think that your persecution is not as strong as another persecution, whatever it may be, but you are still going through that persecution one way or the other. So today we're talking about, the title is the world's reaction. The world's reaction to Christ-like character in us. When you act like Christ-like wants you, either that's going to bring people to repentance, or it's going to bring people, or bring you persecution. Those are the two choices we have. And that leads us to Matthew chapter 5. Now we need to know, as we get this, verse 10 through 12, as we start talking about this, we need to know that this is the end result of being Christ-like. In other words, a true follower who demonstrates genuine Christ-likeness will be persecuted because we are a certain type of person who behaves and believes in a certain way. Now, you might think I'm crazy and might be nuts, but this is probably one of my favorite blessings. One of my favorite. And I'll explain later why it is. Understand this, as followers, as we get ready to start this, we should be persecuted. Why? Because if you are following the previous seven Beatitudes, if they're evident in your life, it's going to happen. Now, just like the other verses we went over, we have to understand them, we're going to do the same thing. So let me start in verse 10. I'll read one at a time. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's stop. Let's go over some words here. Blessed. We've talked about blessed in the past. All right? I'm going to give you a six-word definition again. Very simple. To have the favor of God. That means God looks up. That is God giving you favor. So that's your blessing, to have the favor of God. Right? Now let's move on. Persecuted. That's the next big other word. Now we know with China, which is read you all the persecution in China. So what is persecution? It's hostility or ill treatment to someone or a group. And the third word I want to share with you is righteousness. That's a lifestyle that distinguishes us as true followers. See, righteousness is the cause of persecution. So you could read verse 10 like this. God shows you favor when people show hostility towards you for being like my son, Jesus. That's how verse 10 gets read again. God shows you favor when people show hostility towards you for being like my son, Jesus Christ. So this is for every disciple, every follower that's in this room, who suffer persecution for the sake of righteousness. As the next verse makes clear to the disciples, that means suffering for Jesus Christ's sake. Verse 11. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. To revile means to verbally abuse, to be insulted, to be scolded, to be mocked. Right? It's any kind of persecution with the tongue. See, persecution includes slander, being falsely accused. And here's the thing, even our reputations can become damaged. If you've ever been falsely accused or have had your reputation damaged, if you experience that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You just know how painful that can be. See, our reputations are the precious to us. And it's difficult to be accused of things that we haven't done or even said to us about us. I'm reminded of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Now, Joseph was second in command to Potiphar himself. And Joseph was a very godly man. And he's going into Potiphar's house frequently all the time. And Potiphar loved Joseph. So did Potiphar's wife. So Potiphar's wife one episode gets in the house and she says, well, let's get together, let's have sex, let's do this, right? And what is Joseph? No, I'm not going to sin against my God. And he runs out and Potiphar's wife grabs a hold of his outer garments. Basically, he runs out naked and he holds onto it and he has it in his hand. And his Potiphar's wife starts screaming and hollering, "Hey, Joseph, he tried to have sex with me. Hey, here's the proof. I have his coat." But that wasn't the story. He got his rep. Everything about him got damaged because of false persecution. He got accused of making a move on her that he didn't even do. So you know how that feels. If you've been through that, you've been persecuted wrong, you know what that feels like. But he goes on and says what? He says in that verse 11 at the end of that, evil against you falsely on my account. See, suffering in the previous verse, verse 10, it was for righteousness. But the purpose of suffering here is for Jesus' sake, on my account, is what he says. This is why a witness is willing to take courageous steps to proclaim the gospel. 1 Peter 3:17 says this, "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Let me read it again. "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." In other words, it's one thing to suffer because we have done evil, right? But it's quite another thing to suffer when we're doing what is right, when we're doing God's will. There's a difference. See, with the latter, we're just trying to be imitators of Christ, right? He suffered more hostility and more persecution than anybody else in the history of the world. And yet every ounce of his suffering was for the sake of righteousness. See, righteous behavior provokes persecution. Why? Because, like I said earlier, the unrighteous in this world can't stand to look at righteousness. Here's an example, a small example of this. Way back in the day, and I know my wife don't mind me telling this, way back in the day we lived in apartments, and you know, we were clean people, but the people around us who live in apartments are not always clean. So I remember one night I wake up and I couldn't see, and I flip the light on, and all you see is cockroaches scatter. You see these cockroaches going over the place. And if you've had cockroaches before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When the light comes on, they all scatter. That's what happens. They can't stand the light. So people who live a righteous life the way we're supposed to live, people who don't live it, can't stand the light that we live. They scatter. They want to get away from you. Not all, because some will come to repentance, and some of you will be persecuted for it. Either way, it's going to happen. See, those that hated Jesus the most were the Pharisees. Remember, he's here's those sermons. He's talking to the people. He's got this, but he's talking to the Pharisees who were off in the distance. They were there because they were listening. They wanted to hear what was going on. Because they had a public deception. They were deceiving people of righteousness. Because they wasn't real to them. See, one of the main sins involved is hypocrisy. They were hypocrites. Because while they faked righteousness, they were in fact unrighteous. And in their deception of righteousness, they crucified the Son of God. Because of their unrighteousness. See, nothing exposes the counterfeit faster than the authentic. Nothing. So when righteousness appeared, Jesus, the false righteousness of the Pharisees were exposed for what it was, and they hated it. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Let me read that again, because we need to think about this. All who desire the godly life in Christ will, not maybe, will be persecuted. So if you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Why are we persecuted? Because of our Christ-like character, our love for God, our righteous living, our godly attitudes and behaviors, and our words of truth in this sinful, ungodly, unrighteous, Christ-hating world. Living a godly and righteous life is confrontational in this sinful world. Be ready for persecution if you choose to live a righteous life. Do not listen to these pastors who tell you that if you're all you do what God wants you to do, you'll have a blessed life and everything will go smoothly. Because we as Christians, we have followed right in this room no differently. So don't ever listen to them. If you hear somebody pastor doing that, you better run out that door quick. Because the Bible says, the Word of God says, those who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And we don't like it. Why a lot of Christians don't live the way they want they should live? Because they don't want to be persecuted. You know, I remember a time when I didn't live for God and I didn't feel any of that effects. Do you know why you didn't feel those little effects? Because you weren't doing anything for God. And the devil's saying, ha ha, I don't have to worry about that person. Why is Christianity the most attacked religion out there? Because Jehovah's Witnesses don't have to worry. Devils don't have to worry about Jehovah's Witnesses because they're dealing with a false God. Mormons don't have to do it. The Muslims don't have to do it. All these other religions don't have it. They're getting attacked here and there. But who is getting attacked the most? Christianity. Why? Because that's the one the devil fears the most. Because that he knows the truth. That's why we get attacked the most. That's why you get attacked the most. Because you have a chance to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ that they may leave the devil's family and come into God's family. And the devil doesn't like it. He hates it. But I don't want to give you some downer here. I want you to know this. John 15, 18 to 21. Here's a promise here, right? It says, if the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, if you were living in the world would love you as its own. Right? When you don't live for God, the world loves you. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, this is Jesus, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. That's a promise. That, look, you tell people about the Lord, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him because they first hated him before they hated you. Remember that. See, we as a follower, we have been identified by faith with the King. We carry his name. We proclaim the good news that there is a kingdom of righteousness and peace that is spiritual and eternal. That's what we have. That's what we offer to people. And we should find comfort as we remember that our Lord himself was not exempt from this persecution. And here, Jesus wasn't persecuted because he was good. Jesus was persecuted because he was different. He was different. There was something about him that condemned those in the world. His righteousness exposed their unrighteousness. And it was their feelings of guilt that brought about their persecution. Listen, people don't like looking in the mirror. Think about this. People know what they look. When you tell them something wrong about themselves, they don't like it. Because they're telling them. They already know there's something wrong with them. They just don't want to face it. We hate it. And we're going to get into chapter 7 about, oh, don't judge me. That's a big false lie. We're going to talk about that when we get to that chapter. But we understand that people don't like to have their sin, to have their guilt shown out there. They don't like it. So they're going to hate you because you're living the right way. See, the world persecutes followers today for the same reason they persecuted Jesus. It's because we're different. I always tell people, I'm no different than you except I have Jesus in my life. And that makes a big difference. People don't understand that, but that's what the difference is. I still sin, but I have Jesus in my life. But I'm trying to live the right way. I don't do the wrong. When I sin, I try to confess. I confess those sins, and I try to move ahead and move on from that. See, we have a completely different nature than the unbeliever, because when you're an unbeliever, you have just your sin nature. But when Jesus comes into your life, you have his new nature. And these, like I told you in the past, these two are always at battle every single day for your attention. Every single day, you're butting heads with him. Every morning you wake up, that's why it says you take up your cross daily. You're going to have to do this every single day. You're going to have this going back and forth for your attention. Because the devil, even if he can't have your soul, he can still ruin your life. He can still make your life miserable. So if you don't have that joy that Christ gives you, you're going to fall into the devil's trap. See, at the time of salvation, we as followers become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We begin to live our life differently. We begin to live and demonstrate a life of righteousness. We don't compromise with the world in a sinful behavior. We realize that we owe everything to Christ and that we are not of our own, that we are bought with a price. That price was the blood of Jesus. So what we do is this. We seek to live our lives for the one who died for us so that we may live. For this reason, we are persecuted. One final verse I want to move on before I move on. It says in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have suffering. You will have trials. You will have sorrows. It doesn't say maybe. It says in the world you will. In that word will. You will have. But it goes on. But take heart. I have overcome the world. That songs perfectly for what we're talking about. I have overcome the world. So there is a blessing as we go through persecution. Let me say this. We're not looking for persecution. We don't go out and say, oh, let me say what I can do to be persecuted. We're not doing that. But Jesus does say, if you pursue this life, this is what will happen to you. You should expect it. The world won't thank you for being a Christian. And the world will not love the church. But when evil is spoken against a follower falsely and for Christ's sake, persecution comes with the blessing of God. Verse 12. Do you know that this is the only beatitude with a command? Verse 12. Rejoice. He's telling you to rejoice. The only time he tells you, everything's blessed if you do this, blessed if you do this, but he's telling you, rejoice. Rejoice. And be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, Jesus tells us to rejoice when we are persecuted. Persecution can be good because of four things. It takes our eyes off our earthly rewards. Right? We're not thinking about what the rewards of earth are because persecution is helping us to keep our focus. It strips away our shallow beliefs because you really find out who a true Christian is when they go through persecution. It strengthens the faith of those who endure it to the end. That if you can endure it, it will strengthen your faith. If you've gone through persecution, you know that it strengthened you if you went through it. And fourth, our attitude through it serves as an example to others who follow. People are going to be watching. See, that's what it is. People are watching you every single day. If you claim the name of Jesus as your personal Savior, you are being watched. And here's the thing. They're not interested looking at you when things are going well. They want to see how you do when things aren't going well. Because they know when they feel good as an unbeliever, they know they feel good, everything's good. But when they're going through some crisis, everything falls apart. And that's where they're watching you as a believer. They want to see you as your world's falling apart. How do you act? Because that concerns them more. I think of Job. Here Satan comes up to God and says, man, no wonder Job's, you got him. You got a hedge of protection around him, man. You got a ball protector, man. No wonder he blesses you. Man, you start taking away his stuff from him. You see what happens to him. So again, understand this. God said, okay, Satan, you can do this, but you can't do that. Even God has power over Satan to tell him what he can and can't do to you. God knows you. So what do? He lets him, he takes all of his family, all of his livestock. What does Job still do? He still praises God. I know Satan ain't feeling happy about this. He comes back to God and gets well. You know what? Yeah, he took all of his family, but his wife. He took everybody's his family, took all of his livestock, everything he's got, everything he owns. But you know what? You touch him, you personally ill, make him ill, man, he will completely drop you. God goes, okay, all right, you can do that. Do anything you want to him, up to the point of death. He can't take his life. Okay? So he does all this. What again, after it's all said and done? After he puts bulls in him as he's just miserable, he's in hatred. Even his wife says, man, I just curse God and die. He says, no, naked I came in this world, naked I go out. Job still was faithful to God. See, we need to understand. And then what happened? He got blessed. Everything got doubled for him. More kids, more livestock, more everything. So we need to understand. But we need to understand this, that not all persecution will be blessed. And here's a big difference. See, a Christian can be persecuted for being forceful, for being disruptive, for being obnoxious, and just plain ignorant in their witnessing. You don't just go to people up to them and say, you know what, you don't burn or turn, you'll burn. You know, you don't, we don't do those kind of things. So we don't share the gospel that way with people, right? So we can't do that. See, a Christian is persecuted for continuing to harass someone and bother a person who's not interested in hearing what they have to say. In other words, our job is to share the gospel with people, and then after that, they have a decision to make. Remember, it's not you that saved that person. It is the Holy Spirit. It's God's job. Our job is to share with them. After that, you just live the life the way God wants you to live your life. That's what you got to do. So, but if you're harassing them, you're continuing them, and you get persecuted, that doesn't mean you're even a blessing from God.
See, a Christian can be persecuted for not probably doing their job because they're spending too much time on personal stuff. You're too much time in the world, so you're being persecuted for not for God's blessing, but because you're being persecuted for how you're living. See, a Christian can be persecuted for being self-righteous, for being pushy, for being angry, boastful, even argumentative. You can do those things, but that doesn't mean you're going to get blessed from God. So we need to make sure that we're being persecuted as a follower for the right reason. And again, that reason is for the righteousness' sake and because we are standing with Christ in this evil world. The next phrase I want to share with you in there, it says here, and this has got me a little bit. It says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." See, a true follower has a hard time with this word. And here's the reason why. So we put so much emphasis on justification by faith rather than by works, that we sometimes despise the works that we may be able to achieve. So what I'm saying is that how do we decide that it's a work thing or if we're doing it because God wants to do it? Are we looking for the reward? So how do we reconcile? Remember what we used last week, right? Reconcile, bringing two together in agreement. The truth that Christ is our only merit with our receiving great reward in heaven. One theologian said this: there are at least 25 texts in the New Testament that teach that rewards in heaven will be distributed by Christ. So when we get to heaven, we get to heaven by faith alone. But the reward we experience once we get there are based on the works that we do here. I told you last week or week before last that it's different stages of heaven, right? The more you do for God, and you're not doing these works for rewards, you're doing this work because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's different stages of heaven. Some will get in just by pure fire, you know. Your works will be burned up, but you're going to get to heaven barely. And I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, that's good enough for me." Maybe, but I want to live for God here. I don't care where He places me in heaven, as long as I'm doing what I'm doing here for Him. So what I'm saying is that if you're justified or called to be live fruitful, godly lives that produce good works, and those works will receive a heavenly reward. Now, we need to understand, we don't live just to get the reward. That cannot be your motive. Plus, you've got to remember, God knows our hearts, right? He knows why we're doing what we're doing. I want to read the message to you again, but this time I want to read from the Message. The Bible Message, it's a paraphrase. But I want you to listen to these words, the same three verses, 10 through 12, but through the Message. "You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you, discredit you. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're getting uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always got this kind of trouble. I thought about listing all the apostles and how they all died for the sake of Christ. I didn't want to do that, but understand that what you're going through is nothing compared to what those disciples went through. It's not even what you're going through right now. It's not even compared to what China's going through right now. But we're still going through persecution, and we still have to keep forward focused. So how do we have victory in persecution? I need you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12. When you get there, say amen. Just remember, Revelation, Jude, you have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then you have 1 Peter behind there. The back of the Bible, go forward. The backwards, you get it. 1 Peter chapter 4. I heard a couple of amens. All right. I'm going to start reading verse 12 and read all the way down to verse 19. Verse 12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in it so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in their name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So Peter explains four attitudes that are necessary to have victory in persecution. I'm going to go over them. Number one, expect it. Expect it. Verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as if something strange will happen to you. When you are living God's will, it will come. If it doesn't come, if you're not getting persecuted for Christ's sake, for righteousness' sake, you need to check to see if you're even doing God's will. Are you living the previous beatitude we went over? Are you living them? That can help you with your checklist. Number two, rejoice in it. Verses 13 and 14. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God is upon you. Know that Jesus was persecuted for living the right way. So we rejoice not only because we are living the way Jesus wants us to live, but also we rejoice because it will not only make us stronger, but guess what? It's upsetting the devil. I told you at the beginning, I love his blessing. Here's the reason why. Oh, I love making the devil tick. I love it. Because if I'm making him tick, that means I'm doing something right. I'm living the way God wants to live, and that's why I love it. I know I'm a little weird, a little crazy. I get it, right? I get it. And I'm not dealing with persecution in China. I'm praying that my attitude will still be the same. But my point is that I love making the devil mad. Number three. Third attitude you can have. Evaluate its cause. I'm not going to read verses 15 through 18, but basically it says, I'm being persecuted for living right, or I'm being persecuted for not doing what God wants me to do. You have to evaluate that. Right? Am I living in sin? James goes on. James says, if those who know to do right and don't do it, it is sin. If you know you're supposed to live a certain way and you don't do it, you know you're supposed to do something and you're not doing it, God says you're sinning. So it's not about just doing wrong. If we're not doing what we're supposed to do, we're sinning. Not me. I'm not telling you that. It's coming from the Scriptures. It's God's Word. Last, number four. Entrust it to God. Verse 19. Therefore, those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Know that God knows what's happening. And trust Him. Why? Because He has your back. He's got you. He's covered you. He's covered you in the blood of Jesus. He has covered you. If God can oversee the forces of nature, He can see through our persecutions. As I get ready to close, I want to have one final thought. I want you to look, first Peter again, I want you to look at that verse 12 with me one more time. It says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Happening means here to fall by chance. You and I, if God doesn't realize, we've got to think, not think, that our persecution is something that just happened accidentally. Right? God allowed it, and He designed it for us as followers. Why? For testing us, not tempting us, but testing us to see how faithful we are to Him, what we live the life He wants us, for purging us, for taking away those sins that are in our life, and for cleansing us. What did David say? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast path. That's what He said. We create a clean heart. The cleanest. So to test us, to purge us, and to clean us. If God is doing this to you right now, if He's doing it right now, allow Him to do what He needs to be done as you have the right attitude for victory over persecution. Some of you are saying, you know what? I'm going through some things right now, and I need God's help. Right here, right now, you pray to Him, you tell Him, this is why I need your help. I need help. I'm having issues. I'm being persecuted. Maybe not for the right reason. Go to God. Say, God, please forgive me the sin that I'm doing against you. So do you want to have a blessed life? Well, seek God and live God's way. Ask God for His perspective on holiness and on your sin. That is how maturing process starts. Ask God to show you your need of Him. Mourn over your spiritual poverty. Submit to God. Humble yourself before God. Seek God in prayer each day in His Word and get a hungry and thirsty stomach. Calling for God right now. There you go. Seek God in prayer each day and in His Word and get a hunger and thirst for righteousness that only God can satisfy. Develop Christ-like character as you obey God's Word and submit to living a daily disciplined life for Him. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. But it's one day at a time, striving forward. Keep pushing yourself forward. Because one day, all of us in this room, whether you're a believer or not, are going to have to face judgment. You want the answer. And I've heard some of you have heard this before. Imagine your life. He's videoed you 24/7 for all your years as a follower. And He puts, now obviously it's not going to be, but just imagine it. Try to think out of the box here. He throws in your DVD or whatever it is that technology at that time will be. He throws in, hits the play button, and he shows all your life. Hey, how come you didn't listen to that person? How come you didn't live the way you're supposed to do there? How come you didn't, what about this? Why should I allow you into heaven? You say because of the blood of Jesus. Jesus gets into heaven. God wants each one of us to live for Him and mainly to glorify Him. So when you're experiencing persecution from the world, you will know that seeking God is not in vain. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for Your Word. I know that I am personally thankful. And Father, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. So it definitely convicts me, but it also encourages me. And Father God, I pray for each one in this room, Lord, today that they're not only being convicted, but they're also encouraged. Because You have the power to take away the sins of the world. And all they have to do is ask. Thank You, Father. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You're doing and what You will do in our lives. Because You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's no one greater than You. So, Father, we pray that we have a blessed day. Pray that we go home and we think about the Scripture that we just went over today. We read over the Scripture we've had in the past. Father, help us to live a life that will be godly. And a life that will glorify You. Because people are watching. Thank You, Father. We ask this in Your most precious holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.